Once you get there, let's all stand if you're able to. We'll read and we'll pray. We'll ask God for his help. That's Romans chapter 15 and look at verse number 4 and verse number 5. The Bible says, Romans chapter 15, verse 4, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope." Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be what?
Like-minded.
Like-minded. One toward another. According to Christ Jesus. Now, I'm sure you Bible students caught two words that stuck out. And you got it. That word patience in verse 4. The word patience in verse number 5. And so I want to talk tonight on our favorite topic, favorite subject of any Christian, is the importance of patience. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you for all your many wonderful blessings. And I do ask God that tonight, as we dive into the Word of God, I pray God to speak to our hearts and reveal to us great truths that will help us in our journey as we follow Jesus. I do ask God to stir us on the inside. I pray God our minds will be focused on what you're saying to us as you speak. And with that, God, we'll thank you. I pray for that heart that might be hurting tonight, that mind that might be overwhelmed by some pressure, some problem. I pray, God, you bring peace in the midst of a storm. And with that, Father, we'll thank you. And I do also pray, God, there'll be one amongst us or one that's watching via the internet that's not saved but born again. I pray, God, they receive Jesus as their Savior tonight. And with that, God, we'll thank you. Well, that's it for now. But let them think I'll meet that need as well. For it's your Son that we pray, not only Jesus, but mighty Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let me see it. The importance of patience. Every person that's a child of God, most every person, or well, big percentage, they hear that word patience, Brother Greg. It's like, ooh, not the patience thing, amen. Give me power, amen. Give me peace. Oh, Lord, patience thing, amen. When you're saying patience, I mean, I'm going to have to wait for a little while. But you know what? Now, that word patience is a good word. It's a biblical word. It is a word and an action that needs to take place in every child of God. The Bible tells us in verse number 4, he says, and what sort of things were written aforetime, that means previously, were written for our learning, for our instruction, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures, the Bible says, might have hope. Now, what does that word patience mean? In this particular verse, that word patience means endurance. In other words, brothers and sisters, as we serve God, we need patience. We need endurance. Because if you ain't got endurance, you ain't going to make it. If you ain't got endurance, you're going to fall out before you even get to the finish line. And the Bible tells us that we can get that patience from the scriptures, that we might have hope. Watch this, verse 5. Now the God of patience, that's where it comes from, and consolation, grant you to be what? Like-minded. Now that's a good word. Like-minded means, just like it says, like-minded, amen? Like-minded, though, watch this, one toward another. What are you talking about, Christian? The Bible's teaching us that not only is God the God of patience, but he also wants us to be like-minded, just like him, and have patience one toward another. It's amazing how patient God is with us and all the mess that you and I do. And we make some messes, y'all. I mean, we can act like we don't, but we make some messes. But isn't it amazing how, in spite of all the mess that you and I make, God has patience with us. God has long suffering with us. God is merciful to us. God is gracious to us. God has patience. He's the God of patience. Yeah. And he says, you know what? Just like I'm patient, I want you to be like-minded toward one another.
Yeah. Right.
Now, he ain't talking to him, about him. He's talking to each other. We need to practice patience for one another.
Right.
And we all need to give each other patience. We all need to give each other some endurance. We need to say, because you know what? We want the same thing. You know, what's that little song, God's Still Working On Me? Yeah. You know, I mean, when we messing up, we want everybody to sing that song with us. Sing that song with me. God's still working on me. All right, well, guess what? going through some stuff, sing that same song. God's still working on you. Okay, I mean, hey, because you know what? We all need patience. We need it. And the Bible tells us that God will give us this patience. He will give us this endurance. And what's awesome is this. When you and I are patient with God, the blessings that come from it will blow our minds. Now, I want you to look real quickly at a situation that happened because some folks had some patience. Go with me. Oh, by the way, the word impatient, you know what it means? Impatient means not accepting delay. Restless in expectation. Now, let me read that again. It means not accepting delay. I don't want no delay. But not only not accepting it, but restless. And you know what it means to be restless? I mean, yeah, like you're tossing and turning. I mean, I can't get no rest. I can't get no... But the Bible teaches us that God wants us not to be restless. God wants us not to be not accepting of delay, but instead enduring in spite of the delay. Now let's look at a real life example of a group of guys, go to Acts chapter 16, who because of their patience, not only were they blessed and rewarded, but somebody else was blessed and rewarded as well. Let's go to Acts chapter 16 and look at verse number 12. The Bible says in verse number 12, and from thence, that's Acts 16 verse 12, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, and a colony, and we were in that city abiding certain days. Now what's happened here? Well, if you back up, you find out that you have Paul and his companions, and they're trying to get to a particular place of service. Go back with me and look at verse number 9. The Bible says that, verse 6. Look what the Bible says. Now, when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, after they were come to Messiah, they essayed or attempted to go into Bithynia. But the Spirit suffered them not, wouldn't allow them. And they, passing by Messiah, came down to Troas, and the Bible says, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia, praying him, saying, come, O men of Macedonia, and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. And the Bible said they made their way to Philippi. But notice something. They attempted to go one place. Holy Ghost said, don't go. All right, let's go over here. Holy Ghost said, stop. But each time, they were trying to go somewhere. And when the Holy Ghost said, don't go here or don't go there, they did not go. But they still were attempting to do something for God. And then they got the word in a vision. Go down to Macedonia. So guess what? They go down to Macedonia. And look what the Bible says here. The Bible says in verse number 12. And we were in that city abiding. Key word, guys. Abiding certain days. Amen. That word abiding means to remain, to tarry. So here they were. They make it here to Macedonia. Here they are. And they are remaining there. They're staying there. They've been abiding there. Not one day. But the Bible says for how many days?
Certain days.
Certain days. So more than one day it went by. Mm-hmm. And they were tarrying.
Yeah.
They were remaining. They were continuing. Think about Josh right now. Go over to my left. And Josh, this is third year. Third year there at the college there down in Tennessee. And when he first went there, they give y'all like pretty much just like a Bible course, basically. That's what I'm assuming. And why are they doing that? Because they want them to figure out what they want to do later. So these courses will apply to anything that they're going to go to. But you know what? Some people, when they go to college, say, oh, I already know what I'm going to do. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And God ain't told them nothing.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden, they realize that's what God wants them to do. Now I'm trying to figure out what does God want me to do. Well, guess what? God ain't moving quick enough. So I have to choose something. Wait a minute. Just wait for the Lord. Be steadfast. Continue on what you know. A lot of times people ask me, well, preacher, I don't know what he wants me to do. I say this to them. I said, what do you know? Whatever you already know to do, do that.
Yeah.
Don't try to do. No, I mean, and sometimes I know I just get down. Now, sometimes we get a lot of pressure on us. to make a decision about something, a pressure to do one thing or another, but you wait, I'm talking about truly now, you're waiting for the Lord, and the Lord ain't said anything, but don't just say, well, I got the pressure, I got to make a move. You know? Now, no harm here. Brother Steve Wade, he sells cars. Okay? But the good thing about Steve is Steve has not put pressure on any person to buy a car. Steve lets them know what's happening. He said, he told me anyway. But Steve lets him know what's happening. And he's not trying to pressure anybody, trying to force anybody. But sometimes, some people, man, it's like, oh, this is the one for you. And it's only 50K, but we can work this thing out and take it home. You know, you're like, I don't want to take it home. I want to go. This is what I want over here. But sometimes we'll give in to that pressure. Then afterwards, you'll be like, oh, my goodness, what did I just do? But here you have some men of God that's wanting to follow the will of God. What they do know is this. They're supposed to be in Macedonia. And guess where they were? In Macedonia. And they were there for certain days. So the first thing we see is their patience. Number one, we see their patience. The Bible says they went there because God told them to go there in verses 9 and 10. And they were patiently waiting several days. Several days. They were waiting. They were patient. Let me give you a verse on that. Look at Romans 8 and look at verse number 25. Romans 8 and look at verse number 25. The Bible says this in Romans 8 verse number 25. The Bible says in Romans 8:25. Yeah, moved it. Look what it says here. But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. And somebody said, that's a tongue twister. No. But if we hope for that we see not, there's something that we can't see right now, but we're hoping for it. He says right here, then do we with what?
Patience.
Patience. Wait for it. That word wait for here means to expect it. So in other words, for example, we get our HHR, and we're trying to get that thing running because, you know, we had one vehicle for the longest. And so we finally got things running. And so now I need some new tires. And I said, well, we'll buy me some tires. You know, I mean, it shouldn't be that bad. Unfortunately, for the HHR, you know this, for 2006, they're not making those tires like they used to make them. So I'm like, I'm calling everybody. And I'm like, what is this? So you know what I got to do? I have to go on Amazon. I go on Amazon, and they had some there. I went ahead and bought those tires, and then Amazon said they'd be out here today. And did they come? Nope, they didn't come. I paid them. I'm going to patiently wait for my tires to be in my house tomorrow. Anyway, nonetheless, though. But you know what I'm doing, though? They did send out, UPS sent something out and said it'll be here on tomorrow. So listen, I am patiently waiting for, patiently expecting those tires to come. Now, let's say that there's a delay. Guess what? I'm still expecting those tires
right.
to arrive. And I'm going to do it with patience. Okay? But now, if all of a sudden I don't hear any news from them, I'm not going to give them a phone and go ballistic. You know, I'm going to say, hey, somebody probably fell asleep, rode by our house, didn't realize it, tires ain't here. But I'm going to be patiently waiting for it. I'm expecting it to come. And brothers and sisters, that's what we ought to do. Listen, we know God's going to send it. We might not know when he's going to send it, but let's wait for him. And as we wait,
come on.
With patience, endurance, not with fidgeting, not sitting there going, who's that? Oh, that's somebody else across the street. No, that's the Amazon truck. Yeah, my son was always saying Amazon truck! It ain't for you, it's for the neighbor across the street. Listen, but you know what? But you can be waiting, but sometimes we can get so filled with our being antsy, so to speak, that we'll make moves we should not move. Make. But you see these men of God, they were patient. They were waiting. Now watch this. The second thing we see is this. The second thing we see, oh man, is their customary prayer meeting. Their customary prayer meeting. The Bible says back in Acts chapter 16, drop down to verse number 13. Now, we know they're waiting, okay? They remain there certain days. And the Bible says, on the Sabbath, we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made. That word wont here, W-O-N-T, It means supposed to hold by custom.
Mm-hmm.
There was a custom where they met here by the river and people prayed. Or maybe they just prayed. But nonetheless, they were there praying as was custom. Notice what they weren't doing. They were like, well, God ain't told what to do next. So they weren't down there pouting. They were down there praying.
Yeah.
Now, not us. But some of the other Christians, they just be pouting all the time. You know, what's your problem about? Because God ain't done it yet. You know, I mean, you know, they did this to me, and the Lord said, vengeance is mine, said the Lord, and the Lord never paid them yet. I think I'm going to go over there and repay them. No! Okay? Number one, let's not try to get even with one another. But on top of that, let's pray, talk to God, and let's not be pouting. But here they were, and they were, as they were accustomed to do, they were there praying. That was their custom. Let me ask us this. Is that our custom to pray? About everything?
Come on.
Is it our custom to pray even when things aren't going the way that we want them to go? Or perhaps they're not going as quickly as we would like for them to go? I know for me, when we lived down in Jordan, I've told you this before, but I don't forget, I knew God had something else for me to do. It wasn't to continue to work at Rockwell, making Hellfire missiles for the Apache helicopter. I knew that God had something else. God spoke that into my heart. But you know that several years went by before we actually left Georgia? And I would talk to my co-workers, Dennis, and I would say, he's got some plans for me, something else he want me to do. I know that. And they said, man, you've been saying that for years. Well, I mean, he told me I had nothing to spare. And guess what? When that time came, now I had already left that job, I got laid off. But even if I hadn't gotten laid off, I wouldn't be sitting there going, I told you so, I told you so, I told you so. No, I wouldn't do that, hey, man. That's something else. But nonetheless, but I was patiently waiting. But here's the funny part, Dennis. When the assignment time came, I wasn't too enthusiastic about it. When he started to dish out the assignment, I'm like, whoa. The Lord started talking about going to Chicago, back to Chicago, back. I said, Lord, it's cold up there. My body has gotten acclimated, amen, to the southern weather of Georgia. I'm enjoying the humidity and the 80-degree weather. I'm enjoying not having to wear a coat practically at all, even in the wintertime. Lord, I'm enjoying this. And Lord said, I got your assignment. Here's your assignment. And a lot of times, we're the same way. But that's not the assignment I was expecting.
Yeah.
did you get my name right? Maybe got me mixed up with another Clement Chappelle. He's like, there are only two of y'all. Get your daddy. Get a one. Listen, we have a God that has an assignment for us. But when that assignment time comes, let's be excited about it. So the first thing we see is their patience. The second thing we see is their customary prayer meeting. Let's continue to pray. But then the third thing we see, and this is what we're going to focus on primarily. The third thing we see is this. We see their patience pays off. Their patience pays off. Our patience will pay off. I'm thinking about a young lady right now. I remember she was wanting a husband really bad. I mean, and she would pray, or she would pray, and man, we wept with her, we prayed with her, we wept with her. I mean, and her teen years came and went, her 20s came and went, then she got into the 30s, and of course she was discouraged because she was wanting to be married, and she was, and all this stuff, and it's like, well, maybe she's not, I don't know, but you know what the Lord did? You know, he sent her husband.
Mm-hmm.
Sent her husband. And man, they've been married now for, I don't know how many years it's been now. Two children, loving the Lord and going forward. But you know what? Those were some tough times. But her patience paid off. What's being paid off? She didn't jump the gun.
Right.
It wasn't because the first person, you're pretty, let's get married. Slow down, amen. She didn't do that. She didn't jump the gun. And sometimes we're not careful. We'll be so impatient that we'll miss out on what God has in store for us. But here these men were. They were patient. And the Bible shows that their patience paid off. Look at the Bible says in verse 13. And on the Sabbath we went out of the city by the riverside where prayer was wont to be made. And what do you know? And we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. We see the women or the people that they met. The Bible says here there were some women there. But notice something else. The Bible says in verse 14, and a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us. The Bible shows us, number one, there was a woman that was there and she heard them. Now her name, Lydia, sometimes names have importance. Her name means to travail. Her name means painfully difficult. Her name means pain, anguish, or suffering, results from mental or physical hardship. So I don't know if she was having a hard time or not, but her name, that's the description they gave for her. And you know what? Maybe you're here tonight and you're in pain, spiritually. Maybe you're here tonight and you're in pain, emotionally. Maybe you're here tonight and there's a lot of things happening inwardly that's causing you a frustration or anxiety or whatever the case might be. But you know what the Bible says here? She was there, but something happened. Number one, the Bible shows us that she heard. She could hear. She paid attention to what they were saying. Now, she was there worshiping, even though at that point she didn't know God or Christ as her Savior. But she was there worshiping. But while she was worshiping, she heard them. And the second thing we see is this. Not only did she hear them, the Bible says her heart was open.
Amen.
The Bible says, whose heart? The Lord opened. And that means to open thoroughly. And by the way, brothers and sisters, none of us can open another person's heart.
Right.
Now, I know we would love to, but we can't. Yeah. We don't have that power. We don't have that ability.
Right.
But what we do is we give them the word of God and we pray they hear the word of God. And then when God opens up their heart, we pray they'll receive Christ and not reject him. But some folks have had their hearts open, but instead of receiving Christ, they shut the door. And the last thing that you and I want to do is shut the door. Now you say, wait a minute, preacher. I'm already saved, born again, and redeemed. I got you. But let me ask you, are you open to what God has in store for you? Are you hearing what he has for you? Or are you going to shut the door and say, Lord, that's not what I want? And brothers and sisters, the greatest thing that you and I could want will be what God wants for our life. And the Bible says she heard them. She heard them preaching the word of God, apparently, because you're going to see what happened next. But then the Bible says her heart was open. And then the Bible showed us something else that took place. What was that, preacher? Her heart was open. And the next thing we know that she heeded their words. How do you know that?
Amen.
The Bible says this. And whose heart was open, and she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. That word attended means to adhere. It means to apply. To apply oneself. She heard what they said. Her heart was open. And she heeded what they said. By her actions, the Bible says here, that word right here in this particular verse, it says this. It says that she adhered. She attended. She opened up herself. Whew. You know what it means to adhere? Cling.
Yep.
To do. To follow. She followed what they said. Well, what did they say? Well, apparently, it has something to do with salvation, because the next thing we see is this. She hurriedly got baptized.
Yeah.
Look what the Bible says.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible says she attended unto the things which were spoken to Paul, and when she was baptized.
Yeah.
Now, you've read the scriptures. You know that baptism comes after what?
Salvation.
Salvation.
Right.
So apparently, they have been preaching to her the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. She attended to what they said. She adhered to it. She followed it. And then the Bible says, immediately she heard me, she was baptized. How do you know that? There's no time going by here. The Bible says she adhered to what the spoken of Paul. Verse 15 says, and when she was baptized. You know, the first command that we have after we're saved is to be baptized.
Right.
And unfortunately, sometimes we don't do that. Now, I'm not talking about because you didn't know. I'm talking about because you did know. But the first thing was baptism. And that word baptized, look it up now, it means to submerge. It means to be fully wet.
Yep.
But the preacher, don't say it. Got to say it. The Bible says it. In other words, there wasn't no sprinkler thing going on.
Right.
Nobody spitting on them either. I mean, they went under.
They were
baptized, submerged. You know, when we went to the pool, there was the Isaiah, Uriah, helping him learn how to swim. One thing that Kristen, I think she set me up, but she was talking about how warm the water was last time and all this kind of stuff. Man, I got that water. I'm like, whoa! That water was cold. But I'm not inexperienced, though. I know what to do next. Just going under there. You know, when I went all the way under there, my body started to get adjusted to the weather of the water. Amen. But nonetheless, brothers and sisters, we are to be baptized after we receive Christ as our Savior. Right. And that's what I'm excited.
Amen.
As far as I know, the first baptism we're going to have here together with 29th Avenue Baptist Church is going to be on September the 20th because the young lady got saved. Over my office over there in Blackwell. She got saved there. She would get baptized here on September 20th on that morning. And now she's actually your Brother Greg's niece. I won't say great niece because you're a great guy. But nonetheless, his niece is going to get baptized on that day. But you know what she's doing? She's following the Lord.
Amen.
And believing baptism. Amen. Listen, this lady heard. She heeded. She hurried to get baptized. But watch this, y'all. We ain't done. The Bible says next. You know where I'm going. She was baptized and her household.
Yep.
That word household there, brothers and sisters, means her family.
Yeah.
What are you saying, preacher? Apparently her family also heard the word of God. Her family also received the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, and they were baptized. Well, how do you know that? Paul ain't baptizing people there who ain't saved.
Right.
Amen. That's just like 1 + 1 = what?
2.
Oh, y'all was too slow on that, y'all. Too slow on that. Okay. We got to have e-learning classes around here. Listen, but nonetheless, amen. But, I mean, so our whole house, and you know what happens a lot of times when you and I heed the words of God? It will affect our whole household. The whole family gets affected. I mean, you've heard the testimonies. Here was one person who got saved. And because they got saved, the mom and dad got saved, the brothers and sisters got saved, one of the uncles got saved, and then three of those that got saved were called a priest. Now two of them are pastoring the church somewhere. And he's like, wow, how did it all start? Because one person.
Yeah.
Right.
One person heeded
Amen.
The word they heard.
Amen.
Let me ask us the question tonight. Will we be that one person that heeds those words that God is speaking to us? Because whether we like it or not, some of the decisions that we make, it affects others.
Yeah.
It does. When I look at Miss Bobby back here, now a lot of times people see Miss Bobby and they say, oh, but she got a grandkid in her. Those aren't Miss Bobby's grandkids. Those are Miss Bobby's great-grandkids.
Yeah.
Her great-grandkids. And because she's bringing them to the house of the Lord, I think they're all of them saved now. I think all of them got saved. You know, because she's been bringing them to the house of the Lord. And guess what? As time goes by, how old are you, Carlos? How? 10?
What? Man, what happened? He's 10 already? Oh, my soul.
My goodness, I'm about to say 15 years from now, he'll be 20. But 10 years from now, he'll be 20, amen. He'll be 20 years old. He'll be a young man. Who knows what God has in store for him? But it's because his great-grandmother bring him to the house of the Lord. But you know what? It probably didn't start with Miss Bobby. Miss Bobby probably had one of her brothers, or maybe her mom or somebody, took her to the house. It starts with somebody. And maybe we could be that somebody that it starts with that affects a whole bunch of people.
Right.
Oh, man, it's amazing. It's mind-blowing. But a lot of times, I'm going somewhere because of my impatience.
Mm-hmm.
You don't wait on me. What the apostle say, you know what? We ain't waiting right here, nothing happened. Let's go on to the next city. But see, the Holy Ghost said, right here, this is the place. And then the Bible showed us something. We ain't done yet. The Bible says here, we see she heard, her heart was open, she heeded their words, she heard and was baptized, her household was saved. And the last thing we see in these verses is this. Her home opened up. The Bible says that when she was baptized in her household, she brought up. Now she besought us, saying, "If ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, not you, but to the Lord, come into my house and abide there." And the Bible says, and she constrained them. She put them in a headlock. No, she compelled them. Amen. She really wanted them to stay. Yeah. My home is open to you, and that's one of the great things about The vast majority of those who belong to this precious family of God, your homes are open. It's like, come on into my house, you know. I mean, it's not like you got to walk down. You got a shock guard at the front door. You step, boom, you get back. Don't come up in here, amen. Like, come on in. You know what happens when we get saved? We follow the Lord. It's amazing how even our home opens up.
Yeah.
Everybody's going. Come on in. I'm thinking about my good friend. He's going to heaven. They're going to heaven for several years now. Our brother Jimmy Williams. And so Jimmy Williams came up here. I don't know if you ever met Jimmy or not. This is years ago. But Jimmy Williams, he went over to several houses he went to. And he would go to the house, and I had to take his shoes off. You know, the muffin, I ain't taking my shoes off. You know what Jimmy said? Man, these folks up here, these are the nicest people. They want you to take your shoes off, just make yourself comfortable. Just do, you know, you know, he wasn't thinking about the snow and stuff like that. He said, man, they make you feel at home. Make you feel at home. So next time you got to take your shoes off at somebody's house, just think about it like this. They want me to feel at home. Yeah. They don't care if my feet smell or not, they want me to feel at home.
Listen,
but you know what? It's amazing, though. When God touches our hearts, how we open up our homes up. We open up our families up. And we want people. I don't think my brother Mike, our mothers, and our brother Mike got that pool already and everything. And man, I don't know how many. I'm coming back. He told me I don't know how many times. Man, come on by. Come on. Anytime you want to, just come on by. We should just pop up one day, boy. But he said, come on by. You know, enjoy the pool and stuff. But guess what? He means it. How do you know? I think by having church and been over there. Listen. But he got that. And he didn't say, you know what? It's in ground, right? Yeah, he just said, I got me an in-ground pool. Anybody come in this pool, me and my family. The rest of y'all, I'm sorry. Nope. Look, I got this here. I want to enjoy people. I want people to come by. I think about the ways. Because I remember when we helped y'all move from the other house y'all were at. And I don't forget, they was excited. You know, I think they all was excited. You know, I got to mess with Steve. But anyhow, no, but it's like, man, come on. Those of you who don't like pool, it's okay. But I mean, we playing pool now. Nobody was gambling. Calm down. You know, but man, we playing pool. We playing all kinds of stuff down there. People just in the house, we just having a great time eating, you know, and just enjoying life. But you know what? That's when the heart gets open. It affects your home. And you will open up your home. It's not like you're trying to push people away. You're trying to embrace people. But it all started because somebody was patient.
Yeah.
Maybe you and I need to be that somebody that's patient. Mm-hmm. Patience is important. So we see here, brothers and sisters, their patience. We see their customary prayer meeting. And the third thing we see is their patience paid off. This woman was saved. Her life was changed. Okay, I got three questions. We're done. First question is this. Are we impatient with our current circumstances? Are we impatient with our current circumstances? The second thing is this. Are we tired of waiting? Are we tired of waiting? The third question and last question is this. Are we impatient, watch now, with others? Are we impatient with others? My last was a statement. Let's ask God for His help. So don't say a preacher, I got to say it. It's true. His help and patience. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your many wonderful blessings. I thank you, Lord, for your beloved Son, Jesus, who died upon the cross, rose again from